I can't describe it in any other way, only that now. I've done Halliday and Clare. My father and mother and John, Libby and... I fell on the cliff anyway about 3 days before the coming home time, before the holidays were over. And they split my forehead. Yeah, you look, you find the mark of it there yet.
Yeah. Oh, I see it, yeah.
And a funny thing. It was Paddy Hillary's father attended me. Dr. No. Paddy Hillary. He was the medical officer for the place of the time. And the grandfather was mad, don't you see, to hold me. Keep me in Clare and let the rest of them go off.
Yeah.
Well, the grandfather let the rest of them. And we got Paddy gave in a bit to him that there was a danger of what did they call the thing if it gets in his head. I know. Concussion. And we got out for it to come home without me and all the family. And left me below.
In Clare.
In Clare. Here's our yard a couple of months. He go down, Marty Jank come up now.
But where was he at that time?
Huh?
Where was he?
He was in Cork, in the police.
Oh, in the police, yeah. In Barrack Street, what did you say was it?
No, in Tucky Street, Barrack Street. So, next, he got 3 trips for me anyway, 3 rounds before he captured me. And when he'd be coming here right down, don't you see, have Marty John ready on Sunday, I'll be down.
Yeah.
But then he had to be back on Monday morning, don't you see, on duty.
Oh, yeah.
So the grandfather would immediately shift me to some bloody aunt and uncle lady for the before, away. And I wound up anyway by... He landed on one occasion, he had all his map ruled, and he landed on one occasion and captured me and brought me home. And I was sent into the South Mountain School. So Joe was home, I was him, of course, and Joe was going, so he was going to go down for the junior grade in prison. And I got a lift and I was sent up for the preparatory grade in prison. He had to be 13 years to go for the preparatory grade. So I know my age and all, the age of it and all. So I was only 12 and a half. I went to school one morning and Dr. Neary and Dr. Brother Neary and Brother Albert were the 2 teachers. And Brother Neary said, well, I better give you the one morning we went into it. I'm going to give you the good news first, lads, he said. You'll all get a half day tomorrow. Don't you see?
Yeah.
And now he said he must be all here tomorrow morning in your Sunday clothes. But to cheer the king passing up to open the exhibition with Mr. Fitzgerald, the Lord Mayor. So, I had two great pals above at the time. One of them was, they wound up after all. One of them was Dr. Dan Buckley, Black Rock. He served 30 years after as medical dispensary area of Black Rock. Yeah, there's...
Hello.
Hello. Ah, oh, Coco. The three of us put our heads together anyway that evening. The third one was Paddy Riley. He died about 6 years ago. editor of the Southern Star and Skibbereen. And the three of us made up our minds together that we were afraid that God Almighty is Cork was going to be disgraced that way. This fellow ambassador coming here to this King of England to open the Cork exhibition.
Yeah.
And we put our pins together. And they weren't too large. But we got enough anyway to buy 5 yards of black crepe. And we brought the 5 yards of black crepe to school the following day. And we colored one window to ourselves. And we gathered into the window. And the king going up with Fitzy to open the exhibition. And he passes up and we bad the bastard down the hill. Yeah, in 5 minutes the school was full of bobbies. And the three of us were cut and we were shoved over in the corner together, the three culprits. And we got 18 slaps each. And a French exercise to do. Well, the boys got their half day. And then that was all right, don't you see? The three of us, when we had the French exercise done, the three of us parted. It was all right for Dan, Dan Buckley. Dan was the only child. His mother had a pub above in Barrack Street. And her Dan couldn't do anything wrong. Of course. Had the Riley then, they were a Kevin family. And he got a big slap on the shoulder when he came home. I wouldn't doubt you, your father, so. Won't you see?
Yeah.
But this poor fucker had to go home. right down along. And across the parade and up Tucky Street and climbed up 3 flights of stairs in Tucky Street R.I.C. Barrack and walked in on top of the old man. He was inside and he had a timber chair and an iron lass up on it and a pair of everyday boots and one he driving crabbit heads in them. You know the crabbit heads, the three together. And I had the books under my arm and I passed him in, he just made a grab and he cut the books out of my hand, blew him over across in the far corner of the room. I don't want him any more than he was, you see.
He took you out of the presentation after that, was it?
Huh?
He took you away from school after that, was it?
Within a fortnight I was outside in Morton Abbey farming. And the beauty was that I didn't want to milk a couple of cows. I'd be out of every year, you know, in Kilmona, in the holidays. I learned to milk the cows out there with the lads.
Well, what year did you come down here then?
1916.
16. But you had some involvement with the IRA when you were in Morton Abbey too, hadn't you?
Oh, I was. That's the volunteers in Morton Abbey. Some of the lads out there say 1914 and more of them says 1915. Which was. I could claim to be have got to have got started there because since I got Tomas to come out and start them. Tomas was a Morton Abbey man, you know.
You knew Tomas at the stage?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
And Tomas was cracking to the Suttons, and I was going once a part of the Suttons for coal.
Yeah.
Me home with me, I was taking, a funny thing, I was taking butter to Cork. We were making butter. I was taking up to Lady the butter merchant every fortnight, and all buses out of them, call them bring home after the call with you, to Morton Abbey.
were involved in starting the volunteers in Moornabbey?
Oh, I started volunteers in Moornabbey with Mick Ronan and a few of the lads. They were something the same as here. 9 or 10 fellas started first. And there was a couple of pupils. Ex-army, ex-British army fellas. They were working around there. And they were pretty hefty. By then they attacked us. So we built a hell out of the two of them that came doing that portion of it. But he got them ass out one Sunday, then he started us in Annaline to chapel. And 2 months after, he went out and we mobilised Annaline to fellas, and we marched to Burnford. And we started the Burnford fellas. And then we wound them all into one company. It's 78 men into the rising out of it.
In the Moornabbey company?
Yes.
Yeah.
But they never landed here where, away from my bad company. I went to this part of the world where they heard of nothing, only the Mollies and the O'Brienites.
Was your father retired out of the RIC at the stage?
Hmm?
Was your father retired when you came down here out of the RIC?
He was. He was retired. He was retired me more than me.
What's that?
He was.
What year did you say you came here?
I'd say he retired about 1904 or 1905, I think that'd be the longest of it.
What's the 19, when did you say you came here then?
Oh, we came here in the 15, I hear 16. Ought to be 16.
And how did you start to work from there, then getting the company going here? What's the beginnings of it?
Well, I tell you now one funny thing that happened. And I said, rising, I went to Cork. Reporter about that quarters. Right quarters. And never get put to mass and tell you about the Godwinism. And they're having reeks of cartridges loaded with buckshot. So the man I met in charge of the door above that night was Sandor.
Dandenon.
And to see, came down here to start the volunteers after. So Sen de kendi onu yerde diye dilekçin.
What month?
Who?
What month did you start this year, 1917?
Well, February 17.
February 17, yeah.
February 17, for I was arrested in November 17. 86 days, I was taken to jail in November 17.
Was it you went around and went around to organize it for the staff, like, was it?
Hmm?
Because you went around to organize it for the staff.
I was elected captain.
Yeah, but was you sort of put the idea around the place when you came?
Well, I did, it was nearly.
What
was it? Because it must be because year John got us the song. And Johnny Donnelly, her Abraham into it. The two of them dropped the court to puck me, go up to come home here that night.
Why are you?
Right?
Why are
you? Being a volunteer.
They were opposed to the thing, weren't they, at the time?
They were, I tell you now, it was Kinstead.
Yeah?
Because it's Kinstead and execution, they brought John and the whole lot in. Yes, they made off anyway.
Yes, I suppose it changed
it. It is, yeah.
Yeah, we took up an awful lot of people.
Of course, it was. No, it was but at the time, the William O'Brien and the Mullin McGuire.
Yeah.
And you see, that was the theme that time.
Or either one or the other, like.
That, them were the two organisations that were in Ireland at the time. The volunteers, that.
Yeah, and there they are, yeah.
And there was a branch of the National Volunteers in Accra at the outbreak of...
The war.
The war.
The what?
And they had about 70 members. And there was an ex-British soldier drilling him in a cab in the name of McKinney.
Yes, Kinney.
Kinney.
Kinney. And he was over from the... I remember the same drilling. National volunteers up and down the village.
But that was in response to Castle in the North, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was to offset Castle's Ulster volunteers.
Yeah, Jackie Hedden was saying something the same that he saw him too.
Yeah, when they were the National Volunteers, they were Redmond's Volunteers.
Yeah, yeah. But when the war came out, then they started to go
fizzled.
They fizzled out.
There was a certain amount of them, I suppose, January.
Yeah, fizzled out, and I think to the about 7 or 8 that met over at Liberty Hall one night and started the volunteers. What's that
name?
I'll
name him. There was yourself, Jimmy Herron, Tim Fenton, Pear and John, and Dan Madden.
Dan Madden.
How many is that now?
Four.
Six?
Six or more, yeah.
That's six. There was Jim Murphy, Bill Fitz, Jack Long, and I went down and joined.
Yes.
And that brought him up to how many? 10 or 11. And I think the next fellow they joined was Dinny Herron and Ballinagold.
Huh?
I think the next fellow they joined was Dinny Herron and Ballinagold. And that was the sum total of your volunteers for quite a while.
Yeah, yeah.
Now you have all the correct names there. And I have a fairly good memory on that. And you used to drill us at the back of Liberty Hall the first time I ever drilled. And then you took us up the hill up in Johnny Murphy's field, with Nicholas Murphy's field at the time. And you used to keep us up there all Friday night down our bellies, firing at Natty. That was the original. And there were many more came in then until conscription came on in 1980.
Ah, Christ, there was.
There was.
Oh, Lord, there was.
There was a couple came in, but many more came in.
Hmm?
But there was only a few. The big bulk came in at the time, the danger of conscription.
Yeah, well, now,
go ahead,
I'll give you a fair idea of it. In November, of 17, November 17, we must have 25 or 30.
You hadn't met. Definitely not.
Hmm?
Definitely not. Because you drilled us many a Sunday over in Alcaya, 13 and 14, to fall in. And you went up on a couple of occasions up on the blinking table outside the chapel gate and made a recruiting speech. And I think you were interrupted there one Sunday.
Hmm?
Well, you remember being interrupted there one Sunday by Jerry Delaney?
God knows they don't.
You want to, well, I remember it. Because we were standing there, as he is, as a matter of fact. And you were up on the table and you were making a speech and Jerry Delaney interrupted you. And he said, we don't want any policeman soon coming here to tell us what to do. You remember that?
I don't think that was what.
Well, no, you... Because you answered them back fairly quick. I know that's the gist of the start of it.
There was an element of two parties there, that him, the O'Brienites, and Delaney was an O'Brienite.
Delaney was an O'Brienite, yeah.
In the...
In that time.
No, they were all.
But how the parish would be more or less old at him?
They were practically divided, didn't
they? They were practically divided, yeah.
But he used to get very hot between follow the board factions.
They were terribly hot at that time.
Now, Delaney's, Morris Welch, Old Mike Roach.
Old Mike Roach. Charlie Welch.
Charlie Welch. Lady
Maloney.
And nearly the other people around over
there. Mostyn
and Cray East. Yes, they were all brainy.
They were all nearly all brainy.
And all the Deasons, Barry's, Morris Ahern. And that's because he had an influence over the young fitters that time.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They were Molly Maguire.
They were on the other side.
They were.
It's funny thing, it nearly divided that way after the split again.
Did the same
thing. Did it nearly winter?
Not actually,
because yeah. More people kept the Republican side out, didn't they? But I remember them meetings, sorry. I do remember the National Volunteers. And Kinnear, McKenna.
Yeah, I remember him dream, and they had wooden guns.
Wooden guns.
Yes, someone told us that. It was Paddy Hickey made the guns or something. Someone told us that. Cut out the timber guns.
There was quite a few of them, I remember them one Sunday. There was quite a few of them there.
Well, there was. I think they had about 70 minutes.
But they'd be more or less the generation before you know the...
Oh, well, it wouldn't be so far before us.
Yeah.
It would be only 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
For, it couldn't be that much.
It
couldn't
be that much. It had to be the outside
stopped,
of it.
Then yeah. Stopped that. About 1915.
Well, they had the National Volunteers going when the war broke out.
Yeah.
In 14.
Yeah. Yeah, but on the other hand, in your company, like, it was all younger people, you know.
Well, they were all the younger people.
They were all what?
There was none of the, as far as I know, no. I don't think there was any of the all National Volunteers went in with the Irish Volunteers.
That's, you know, that they were, yeah, but their average age would be 20 or less, would it?
Oh, they'd be a lot less.
When it started, there was.
The most of them would be less anyway.
Would be less than 20. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but I mean, in the volunteers before that, you probably had, the people that'd be an older age.
Aye, right. 25, 30s.
And that's after
where? That's how right
you now. Yeah, someone said Morris Hearn was in it, and I don't know.
Ken Hogan.
Yeah.
Would all that type now.
Mm. But what age would they be if they were alive now? You know, I suppose they could be mean up to their 40s and that, would they?
There would be, and there was.
Yeah.
At that particular time, because, you see, they went in because Redmond asked them to go in at the time, the most of them.
Yeah. But that's the way things were going when Martin came on the scene.
He came on the scene, then
and upset the whole little cat.
And upset the whole little cat.
With a new policy?
A new policy through the country.
Through the country, yeah.
A whole ghost out of a policeman, son.
No, you don't remember that, but I remember that now being said to you that day. Over and outside in the fire chaplain, you were standing in a table belonged to my tenement. That was brought out to the pub.
But what was the feeling in this area like after the execution of 1916?
It changed the whole thing. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of them were pro-British before that.
Was there?
Well, they were not pro-British, if you like, but they were well supporting the Allied cause, if you like.
Yeah.
But when their executions came, it began to change them right away.
Yeah. But what was the prevailing conditions in farming? Were people getting well off, or...?
Well,
in them years now.
They were fairly good, weren't they?
1914 to 1918 were great years in the land, you know.
They were good, all right.
They were good.
People were beginning to get a bit of a price and all that sort of thing at that time, but that was a war price, of course.
Oh, yeah,
in
yeah.
most cases.
Yeah. What did the fathers and mothers then think of this when Martins came around and started campaigning?
When Martins started it, an awful lot of them were dead against it.
Dead against it.
Yeah,
I
was very much.
And I wasn't that anything to
it. Yeah.
But no, that is a fact because most of them I know.
Well?
You'll find yourselves in the body of the jail.
Mm.
That was the usual thing to say to myself.
Yeah.
You see, all this sort of thing.
Yeah.
And that was no exception.
Yeah.
They were afraid of the British police at the time, the old people were. And very much afraid. Well, of course. We have to blame them.
Yeah. But I suppose didn't see any hope of the campaign succeeding either.
Of course, that was the whole thing behind the nutshell.
Yeah. I suppose they were after seeing and reading too many failures.
Too many failures, mate.
Before, you know.
There were two.
Yeah.
They had the Land League and they had a lot of things.
And I suppose a lot of them would have remembered and heard about the Fenians and that.
Well, there was a lot of them, the same goes, some of their ancestors were belonged to the Fenians and all that, and not so far back and all, and they had that little spirit left.
Yeah.
The most of them.
Yeah, yeah. But Ned Maloney would be an exception, I think, didn't he? He'd be a good bit older than the rest
he'd
of them.
He'd be a good bit older. And so would, well, of course, Mike Hannibal, he'd be a bit older.
Would he? Yeah. But other than that, didn't
they? Outside Mike Hannibal, Martin, Jack Welch, you know, Morris's brother.
Yeah.
He would join the volunteers at the time.
Yeah.
Well, he was the older man.
Ned Maloney. No, they were the older men that was in it.
They were the older men. They were all the, from their 20s and 21, 22 and down.
They were down then. Sure, Martin was, I suppose, 20. He'd be 27 or 28 at the time. Wouldn't you be 27 or 28 at the time?
I was 30 years and I got married in 1920.
You were 27 when the thing?
Yeah.
I should have more sense, like.
I didn't think you were
30 years exactly when I got married. Mm. He was around 20 years younger than me, or 10 years younger than me. Yeah. 20.
But how was history taught in the schools and things like by Tom Barry and Clare? What was his views on Irish nationalism? But
not one bit.
Not a bit?
No.
Do you know the book I read now you spoke about history? My fourth book. I'll always remember quoting it a few times. Do you know the history we're learning? About Black Bob, the pet of the regiment. When the big old officer over minding the Indians, he died. And when he was shared out, his big charge of Black Bob was taken up to the command post and he saluted for the salute of the dead general minding the Indians. That's what we were taught.
That's the history that...
That was all.
There was nothing being taught that would sort of inspire nationalism at all.
It was wiped out completely.
That's professional, that's policy, like that says the...
Policy, it was pure British.
You're nearly gone back to it.
Yeah.
Pure British, that is.
It's a hard thing to say.
Yeah.
What Irish?
I could say, I'd come and I'd go.
Yeah.
I remember some young fellow now passed. He called something by the Irish name and old Tom said to him, look here, boy, stop that. That kind of statement won't do.
Tom said.
Because he called something Irish to something.
Yeah.
Not real Irish, but he would have just had it at all.
But Tambari wouldn't know the Irish language or anything, no?
Not one bit of both.
Oh, Tom the teacher.
Yeah. He wouldn't know a bit of both.
But you wouldn't hear anything about penal law or anything?
I wouldn't have written any book now until that's what we were taught. Like Bob the Pet of the Legend. And he was on out in the top of our book and English uniform, and he was taken up to the command post to give the right salute, and that day 12 months they were had a memory of, you know,
yeah,
the anniversary of the, and Black Bob went up, well, he walked up himself, you know, yeah, this old bunk,
yeah,
that he walked up to the command post and took the salute, without his general being up in.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what you were taught.
But then you had the clergy more or less leaning that way too, had you?
I just forgot out of the question altogether. We didn't hear about it at all until 1916.
Which?
We didn't hear anything Irish till Padre Pat in 1916.
No.
There was a little in 1915 that there was...
G.B. Kelly was teaching Irish above in Dakhla.
He was after 1916.
Oh, yeah, after it.
It developed terribly during the volunteers. Of course, there was Irish classes there then.
Oh, there was?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, yeah, but all this...
Do you remember the fellow by the name of Enright? Do you remember Jimmy Enright? He was teaching it for a long time after. Jim Kelly, and Enright took it on. Whatever he was, do you remember Enright?
I don't know,
who was he? I don't know how that he came around anywhere. Enright, I knew him well. He was teaching the welfare just him for a long, long time. He was teaching up to 1920, man.
Because at the time then, the Irish classes fell through because fellas were in the IRA, if you like to call, they were Irish volunteers, and they were nearly drilling all the time, and they had no time for the Irish classes.
Yeah, yeah.
And he felt they was interested in the Irish volunteers.
Yeah. You've got all the merchant in there, Lord. I said it to them one time, and I don't think he ever forgot him for me.
What you say?
There was a party meeting in the Katniss Kitting or something. Martin, he said, we're getting you good. To me?
Yeah.
Neil Gaelling and Gumbo, I guess, lady, yes, sir. No Irish, thanks be to God. You don't forget for me, though. I said, all right, I take another Irish. The first five books were grounded off my heart, turn on me any way you like it. Quote any, ask me for anything you like, quote any one of them. But then the volunteers finished Irish with me.
You hadn't the time, like.
You hadn't,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
practically. But finished Irish with most of the volunteers.
My whole heart and soul went into the volunteers.
And every volunteer didn't last interest in it, because he had something
yeah,
to do.
Yeah, yeah. You had to win the freedom first, didn't you?
It was the main thing, of course.
Yeah, at the time. But how did you actually, Martin, get your basis for republicanism, given your background of your father being in the RIC?
I'll give you the basis of it now,
Harry.
You're
all
well.
Here we go.
How did you get interested in republicanism, Lee? How did you get interested in it? I mean, was your father in the RIC?
My father was the eldest of 16 in family. In the farm of 70 acres below the county Clare. He was evicted. My grandfather was evicted. And I was a very small fellow altogether, when I remember the tails cut off of 40 of 40 black, carry heifers, carry bullocks, below on that farm.
Yeah, yeah.
Then he was evicted. There were 16 mouths to feed. That's what I meant to the police.
That's how he joined the police.
Oh, we often had it hot and heavy at the start of the volunteers.
With your father?
With your father. But he was always maintaining one thing about it. Every movement, he said, that was ever started that way was sold. And when this movement will be sold, he said, you'll be down for selling it because you're a policeman's son.
Yeah.
No, no, that's the way he ended
yeah.
up with me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What you will do, he said, you'll never. Any night you go out to Lee, he said, you won't sleep in this house. That was the rule. And I'd go out and I'd come home and I'd sleep above in the loft and get up in the morning and milk the cows and carry on. Say nothing. He'd know I was gone out.
Yeah.
Because in the morning,
well, how did Joe Dinny come to joining it then? I mean, had you always this Republican
view? He was an early member.
Is it some pleasure to come in or was it a feeling of?
I took a great interest in this thing, of course, and at home, of course, the mother was sort of open out that way.
She was a, yeah.
And the background apparently was touched with opinions.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I suppose, I don't know, I couldn't have come.
You couldn't, all you came to?
I couldn't very well have come to. And then some of the local fellows, and of course, this fellow had a bad influence on us, him, at the time.
How did you gain pets here? How did you
get pets? I was a bit younger.
You were, yeah, yeah.
You were still?
Yeah.
After 1916, Triton Doors, after 1916, you were taking interest.
But you can remember 1916?
No, I do remember. Well, I remember when it came first. I remember being at the Fords when the news came. They're fighting in Dublin. Dublin is supposed to be blown to bits, and so it was nearly too. And then the news and out what will happen at home. Then, of course, no one wanted it, that's it. Like Martin's father said, a failure and they'll be sold. But, but of course, I said Britain would have done better if she never spoke of conscription.
She
made the Irish Republican Army a 100-fold by that. She built them thoroughly by that.
And I tell you now, even my first spell in my first term in jail in my college, 3 months above the criminal road. And I think I had about 70. I think I had about 70 or 80 men here, I think.
Yeah?
March of 18. We were just at the farm in the battalion. We found the battalion in Middleton on Patrick's Day.
Mm-hmm. Is that
18? 18. And Deb was down to farm it. And we were all.
Go ahead, Drew.
We were all picked up a fortnight after. Canavan and I here. There are a bunch of them in Middleton, there are a bunch of them in Carrickthorne, everywhere.
Yeah.
3 or 4 of us from every shoulder. There is what the rest of the captain and first lieutenant.
Yeah.
Of every company?
In every company. And it took him 2 or 3 months to try his thing. They would take us down to Cork. We go every time. Down to Cork once a week or once a part, and journey for 9 days and up again, down to Cork.
Well, would you be tried by some sort of magistrate?
Oh! Resident magistrate.
Starkey.
There was not a jury or anything, no?
Oh, no.
And he was next to our seaman, wasn't he, Starkey?
He was. I got out doing that. And never forget the wallop he gave Darcy. Old Darcy, the was here, you know.
And you see?
Well, yeah, that means. Yeah, I see, it has 2 sides. My uncle and I see, and I see Sergeant away, right?
What's that?
He was.
The whole thing came in over was, don't you see?
He put the bowl in the fire.
Old Stacky was the magistrate that tried me above.
You see,
yeah, you see.
For the raid for arms. And old Darcy landed up. The clothes that I wore here that morning, making the cows. And he had them all tied up. In the bundle, he came into the old bridal door, with the door on, you see. Yeah, all right, so then I took him my hand. It's in this heart of it, you know. I was going out, I was with the door on for identification outside.
Mm-hmm.
The goat didn't be identified, seven or eight city fellas shoved in. God blessed us, and I opened the bundle, I let fly, and I hit him right in the chest with him, and back he went back in his arse out in the, out the bridal door. And I didn't wear them anyway. Hell, right on me, I was out. And what I found lying out outside was a crowd of fellas out of the old
timber yard
or something. Over the timber yard outside. Yeah. Standing outside in the middle, they didn't be identified, in case you couldn't miss the country, boy. In fact, the doll didn't miss it. What do you call her?
The Jagos.
Jagos. Miss Jago passed down and gave me a noble wink and she passed it.
But my grandmother at home, what was she a part of it now, like with the sons out and that? Was she a Republican minded or was she?
Ah, she was. She was a great woman.
I only barely remember her.
Who? Mrs. Fitz, celebrity. Yes, she was a great woman.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I said the same about you again.
She wanted what she wanted, she?
Yeah.
She was ready.
Yeah.
Sure, your cousins are there all the time, aren't they?
Don't finish? Yeah. Yeah. Going a bit out now,
that. I wouldn't know my dad. But I see one of the
servants
up at the...
Was it in Liberty Hall that you were all sworn in, didn't you, was it?
Right. Liberty Hall, where the Bible was kept.
Liberty Hall.
We Hall of Thorns in, wasn't it?
Right.
But that was a special night set for that, was it?
Oh, yeah. In fact, there was a couple of little swearing in there, isn't it? There was a swearing in there after that.
What?
Can you ask me
swear? I haven't had sworn in the one night.
Yeah, but all of them that came in at the start anyway.
Well, he must have sworn in the first. And then there was some.
Was our first round there? Did it go up to 11?
11 years.
That was a...
But actually we weren't sworn in at that particular period.
No.
But you were saying it was 9, was it the first meeting, was it?
About 9.
And that decided the farm or company?
Well, the part of the company was actually a farm, as far as I know.
And officers elected?
No.
No. But afterwards?
Before Martin, they elected captain.
Well, he was the bus pro tem at the time anyway.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there was no... He had to be elected captain then, because... He was the man that put him going anyway, sure.
Yeah. But there was another company here in Long Tarn, in Dinigin, was there on Little Island?
Well, they did come afterwards.
Yeah. But how did it up to the crack? You came instead of going the other direction?
There were two volunteers in Little Island. And one of them was the priest boy.
Oh, Hunt.
Hunt. He brought from wherever he came from, with the priest.
I don't know, I never heard of many volunteers in the Little Island anyway.
No, two volunteers, I was never there.
He killed him with a shovel, I know, I don't know that, all right.
What did that throw?
Well, of course.
I'll tell you how that stood. We had about 70, I'd say, in March of 18. There were 70.